So we're very happy to be here in New Sankirtanpura with Panchatattva. Hopefully we'll get a chance to see Panchatattva in a second. And I'm happy to see all the nice devotees here who are enthusiastically dancing and chanting in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's been, quite some time since I was here last time. And that's because of the COVID thing. So this is the first international trip that I've actually made. And the first place I went to was Slovenia. Because it's the best place. I was always thinking, how can I come back to Slovenia? And Krishna, just at the last minute, opened up Europe so we could come back here and visit some devotees. Also, we're going to Germany after this. Just set this up. So, today we are celebrating Vaishnava Diksha, Vaishnava initiation of two types. But before that, I wanted to mention that today is a very special day on the Vaishnava calendar. It is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Srivas Thakur. Now, for those of you who don't know who Srivas Thakur is, he is the incarnation of Narada Muni, who appeared over 500 years ago with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Nityananda, Advaitacharya, and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. And so Srivas Thakur, being a very important personality, especially a preacher of Krishna consciousness, Narada Muni, is a very inspirational person. And it's because it is Srivas Thakur, or was Srivas Thakur's appearance day, in a disappearance day, in 1978, I picked that day to take sannyas on, which was many, many years ago. And so I want to describe what sannyas is first, even though we're not giving any sannyas initiations today. Oh. Thank you. So, because sannyas is very much connected to Srivas Thakur and his activities, because Narada Muni, he is considered to be a transcendental spaceman. Those are Prabhupada's words. That means he travels Narada Muni Bhaja Bina Radhika Ramana Namane. He travels everywhere chanting the names of Radha and Krishna, which is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And he gives people something called the Bhakti Lata Bij, or the seed of the creeper of devotion, simply by his chanting. And he changes people's consciousness, in many cases, from people who are like dacoits, or very low-class people, and he turns them into first-class devotees of the Lord. I mean, one story of Narada Muni, which most of you are familiar with, is Narada Muni's interactions with Magrari the hunter. I'm sure you have hunters here in Slovenia. Maybe not in this room. But Magrari the hunter wasn't just an ordinary hunter. He was trained up by his father and relatives to half-kill animals and take joy in seeing animals suffer. So he was doing this, and Narada Muni comes along, and Narada Muni sees the half-killed animals, and he sort of sets them free because he doesn't want them to be killed or doesn't want them to suffer. Because that is a Vaishnava's mentality. Paraduka duki. A Vaishnava does not like to see anyone else suffer. In fact, as one advances in Krishna consciousness, more and more compassion manifests in one's heart. That is a sign of advancement. More and more compassion and less tendency to think of someone as their enemies or someone as their enemy. In fact, this is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, by Lord Kapiladev, he says, Ajatra Shatrava Santa Sadhava Sadhabhushana, that a devotee of the Lord has no enemies. Or, as we were speaking the other day in the Ishopanishad, it's mentioned, Yastu sarvani bhutaniyatma nevanu pashati sarvabhutesha chatmanam tatogna vigigupshate. That one who is connected with Krishna and Krishna consciousness has no enemies. He loves everyone. He doesn't hate anyone. So this is a sign of advancement. So Narada Muni wanted to save this particular individual. This particular individual was taking joy in seeing others suffer. And Narada Muni freed these animals. And so this person got very upset. His name was Magrari. Got very upset with Narada Muni. And he said, why have you freed the animals? And Narada Muni asked him a very simple question. If you're interested in killing animals, why do you fully kill the animals? Why don't you fully kill the animals? Why are you half killing them? And he described that he was taking joy in half killing the animals. And he had learned this from his father, who had taught him to half kill animals. And so Narada Muni at that point, being an expert preacher of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, enabled Magrari to see his future, that is his karmic reaction. And what was his future? He was going to be killed by those same animals in the future. And so Magrari had a wake-up call, as they say, and he said to Narada Muni, what should I do? And Narada Muni said, stop killing animals. And Magrari said, what am I going to do for my maintenance to survive? And Narada Muni said, I will take care of it. And of course, that's very similar to the statement in the Gita, where Krishna says, Ananyas chintaye antumam ye janak paripasate teshad nityava yuktamam yogakshami vahamyaham. To those who are dedicated to me, I take care of everything. I protect what they have and I carry what they lack. So in this way, Narada Muni turned him into a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there's so many stories about Narada Muni's interactions with different living entities. So this is what sannyas means, or what Narada Muni's pastimes means, or what Srivast Thakur's pastimes indicate, that one should dedicate their life to bringing others to Krishna consciousness. Now, this is very much connected with my taking sannyas a few years ago. Many years ago. Very much connected because when Srila Prabhupada left this mortal world, at least in his physical form, in 1977, I became determined to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. And my taking sannyas, which I took in 1978 in Lima, Peru, that's South America for those of you who don't know, was a manifestation of my dedication to serve Srila Prabhupada and to serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to serve in the mood of Narada Muni, to serve in the mood of Srivast Thakur, to bring everyone to Krishna consciousness. Because that is what Srila Prabhupada wanted. Srila Prabhupada didn't simply want to open up a few temples here and there. Srila Prabhupada's desire was, as described in the Bhagavatam, Tadbhag Visargo Janataga Viplavo Yasmin Pratishlagama Bhadavachyapi, that to create a revolution, a spiritual revolution, not a violent revolution, but a revolution consciousness in the impious civilization or civilizations which exist around the world. So taking sannyas to me, that's what it meant. Now, how is this connected with initiation? Okay. Those devotees who were taking initiation, first of all, I'm just going to give a basic background and then I'll tell you how it's connected. Those devotees who were taking initiation are taking certain vows. Yes, I understand there's the four regulative principles, which I'm going to speak very quickly so none of you get it disturbed. No meat, fish, or egg, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex. How about that? Those are important. Those are important. Why are they important? Because if you don't follow those regulated principles, you get, first of all, bad karma. Bad karma means the Yamadutas. And if you don't know what the Yamadutas are, you can Google it after class. Because I am not going to heavy you out about hell. Sorry. If you don't know what they are. Anyway. And then losing the human form of life, becoming in your next life a dog or a cat, and not a dog in someone's house that you can watch TV all day long, but a street dog or a cockroach. Or you become a COVID virus in your next life and attack people in your life. Why not? That'd be kind of fun. So that's the first point. You know, why do we have these regulated principles, which I mentioned very quickly? But secondly, is by following, by not following the regulated principles, by breaking the regulated principles, by having illicit sex, intoxicated meat, eating, gambling, whew, then you're going into the lower modes of nature. And what are the lower modes of nature? You have the mode of ignorance, which is simply dullness, lethargy, no enjoyment, or at best, you go into the mode of passion, which is enjoyment in the beginning, and at the end, it's poison. That's the description in the Gita. So you get dragged down and controlled, and the Bhagavad Gita says, you're controlled by what? Nahikaschichanamapi jatatishtitiya karmakrit. You're forced to act helplessly according to these modes. You don't have any freedom. Everybody wants to be free, right? Just like you're so happy, you take off the mask, I'm free! Isn't it? I mean, many places in America where I come from, they have mask protests. Not mass protests, mask protests. We cannot be controlled anymore by this government. So, but imagine if I were to tell you, you were controlled 24/7. And if you don't follow the regulated principles, you are controlled 24/7. The mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance, they mix in different ways, 3 times 3 times 3, all these different permutations, and you get 8,400,000 species of life, and even more permutations or variety within these different species of life. I don't want to be controlled. I want to be free. I want to be free from following different gangs. You know, people don't like to be members of gangs. It's considered real bad. Well, you have all these different gangs. You have national gangs, racial gangs, religious gangs. Don't worry, we're not a gang here. We're the best. No, Hare Krishna, we respect everyone who loves God. That's all. We're not sectarian. It's not that you have to wear a dhoti to love God, or have a shaved head to wear God, or part your hair in the middle, if you happen to be a woman, to love God. Or wear a tilak to love God. You could love God in any denomination, as long as you're willing to do what he says. Because love means to do what he says. Simple. If you say, I love you, I love you, I love you, can you do this for me? No. What is that love? So we don't want to be controlled. We want to be happy. And so that's why the four regulated principles are there. Okay, got that out of the way. And then after that, we have this, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The devotees here are taking first initiation, vowing to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. Minimum 16 rounds, perhaps more. And Ekadasi, if they can do it. Ekadasi is tomorrow. And I got news for you, it comes every 2 weeks, too. It's not just, oh, tomorrow, just one day a year. You know, people have the whole philosophy, if I just follow this Bhima Nirjala Ekadasi, that's all I got to do once a year. No way, Jose. You got every 2 weeks, and then you'll become Krishna conscious by following that Ekadasi. Anyway, so we chant, why do we chant Krishna's name? Because Namachintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Bhunashara Nitya Mukta Obhinatvam Namanamino. And I'm sure you all know what that means. Because Krishna is there in his name. Krishna is the most attractive. What does the word Krishna mean? Krish means to attract. Na means unlimited bliss. So every time you say Krishna, he's there. Unlimited bliss is there. The most attractive person is there. Wow. So not only are you free from the modes of nature by following the four regulative principles, but you're also experiencing unlimited bliss. You know, I've been doing this same thing for the last 50 years. Pretty hard to believe. I know I don't look that old, but anyway. But I've been doing the same thing for the last 50 years. Actually, this is the 50th year for me. As of July 29th. Is when I met Prabhupada. July 29th, in a place called Gainesville, Florida, I met Prabhupada. And as soon as I met Prabhupada, I became overwhelmed by his mood of compassion, dedication, just like Narada Muni. And that was it. It was love at first sight, as they say. Dedication at first sight. And so, it gets better every day. Who can say that about their life? Especially you old folks. Any old folks here? It gets better every single day. Wow. That's pretty amazing. So that's the advantage of Krishna consciousness. So these devotees are promising to follow, they're vowing. Not just promising, there's a little bit difference between the word promise and vow. Vow means some promise made that cannot be broken. Normally we have promises that can be broken. You know, people get married and they sign prenuptial contracts. Ever heard of that before? That means if and when we get divorced, you get the dog and I get the house. Pretty good contract, isn't it? So, that because promises are meant to be broken. But spiritual promises, vrat, it's actually the word is vrat or vow. It should be unbroken. Dhrida vrataha. That's mentioned also in Sanskrit in the Bhagavad Gita. Firm determination, firm vow. So these devotees are making this promise in front of the fire, which hasn't occurred yet, and in front of the deities. Hopefully, deities will open soon.
1 minute,
see? Okay. In front of the deities, in front of Srila Prabhupada, in front of my not-so-humble self, then we will actually make these promises. All right, so that's the basic thing. And then some devotees, okay, be a little more complete. Some devotees are taking the second initiation or Brahman initiation, and this initiation is given to enable the devotees to worship the deities. It's called Brahman initiation because it's very much stressed that these devotees should acquire Brahminical qualities such as peacefulness, self-controlled, sama, dhamma, tapa, learning to accept things favorable for Krishna consciousness, rejecting things unfavorable, cleanliness, tolerance, study of the Vedic literatures and application of what's in the Vedic literatures. So this is what's called the second initiation or Brahman initiation. There's no additional vows, but there's an additional chanting of seven mantras, which are called the Gayatri mantras. And these Gayatri mantras do not substitute for the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is the only thing required to bring one to the spiritual world. But they help one connect more with Krishna and with the spiritual master. So there's many explanations of these Gayatri mantras, which I'm not going to give right now. So that's basically what's happening. So let's go back to the original talk or premise I was talking about spreading Krishna consciousness, being like Narada Muni. So the basic initiation vows are there, which I explain. But connected with all those vows or promises is the consideration that these devotees will serve the mission of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. If Srila Prabhupada hadn't come to the Western world to present Krishna consciousness, none of us would be here. Srila Prabhupada's books, Srila Prabhupada's example, form the very foundational, instructional, exemplar basis of the Krishna consciousness movement. So, Srila Prabhupada gave me initiation, and I am acting as Srila Prabhupada's representative. Not that this is Ritvik initiation or anything like that, but we are acting as representing the founder acharya, and we are giving initiation to our disciples. And of course, one of the devotees here is taking second initiation from Jaipataka Maharaj. That's Jananda Prabhu. And we're performing or having this sacrifice performed, and later on he'll get his mantra from Jaipataka Maharaj, hopefully. He's supposed to be at 6 o'clock tonight. He's supposed to call me, or I'm supposed to call him. So, but we are representing Prabhupada. And so the devotees who are taking initiation are making a commitment to be part of Prabhupada's mission in saving the world. Because this is very exciting. One needs a purpose in life. Before I came to the Krishna consciousness movement, I basically had no purpose in life. The purposes that I had been given by my mother, especially my mother, I don't think my father ever gave me a purpose, but the purpose that I had been given by my mother was basically become a doctor. Jai. Shri Shri Panchatattva Panchatattva Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gornatai Ki Jai. This is Padyatra Gornatai. They look very happy since they've been on Sankirtan. So I asked my mother, if that's my purpose in life, why should it be my purpose in life to be a doctor? And she said, to please her. I said, that's not a very good answer. I said, that's not really inspiring. And then she thought of something else. She said, basically to help people. And I said, well, if I help people as a doctor, sometimes doctors don't help people. But anyway, if I help people as a doctor, can I be assured that they won't die? Is that permanent help? And she said, no. I said, forget it. I want to help people permanently. I want to change society. I want to change people's consciousness. I want to have people love each other. Because I was in the hippie generation. You know, come on, everybody. You got to love each other. But anyway, I mean, but this is actually was Prabhupada's aspiration. To have peace in the world, as Krishna says in the Gita, in the fifth chapter, text 29, he says, Bhoktaram Jakatapasam Sarvalokam Raheshram Bhutanam Sarvalokam Raheshram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Radesh was that? Yantam Shanti Mrichati. That he says that the peace formula, which Prabhupada defined this verse as the peace formula, is to understand that Krishna is the well-wisher, Krishna is the friend of all living entities, and in this way one can Shanti Richati reach peace. So, anyway, so that's the peace formula. So my mother wasn't giving me any alternatives to achieve my goals in life. And so therefore I started studying so many different religious books and spiritual books and philosophical books until I came to Srila Prabhupada's books. And Srila Prabhupada's books gave me the answer by which I could help people and dedicate myself to the most important purpose in life, which is to give people peace to give people eternal life full of bliss and knowledge. And so the devotees who are taking initiation today are taking initiation in Srila Prabhupada's society to assist in this mission, somehow or other, with their abilities, their intelligence, and their skills. And we are requesting all of them to remain within Srila Prabhupada's society and serve Srila Prabhupada's society. And I've dedicated my life to that proposal, to serve Prabhupada's temples, Prabhupada's devotees. And in this way, we have a United Nations of the spiritual world, which is what Srila Prabhupada's intention was. So this is what initiation is. Of course, initiation also means to begin something, to formally take one's promises, to formally enroll in Krishna consciousness. And of course, the devotees who are getting their first initiation are getting spiritual names. And these spiritual names are all related to being servants of Krishna, for them being servants of Krishna. So, we'll keep it short. So, we'll continue with the ceremony now. You're going to do the purification first, right? The achamala, the purification, and then we give the names after that, right?